undocumented immigrants already in the U.S. to stay. More student demonstrations in California and Nevada targeting immigration reform proposals. In Las Vegas, authorities say 3,000 students left 22 area schools. They gathered at the Regional Justice Center in downtown Vegas before marching to the nearby federal building. San Diego school officials say about 2,000 middle and high school students protested. And in Bakersfield, California, the number put at 1,000. In L.A., about 100 demonstrators gathered at City Hall. Senate testimony today over the motion to censure George Bush for his warrantless domestic spying program. Former Nixon White House counsel John Dean said authorization of the surveillance reveals, quote, even more serious abuses than Nixon's during Watergate. John Dean says Richard Nixon might have avoided having to resign if only Nixon had been given a warning in the form of a congressional censure. Jurors in Zacharias Moussaoui's trial have gone home for the weekend. A third day of deliberations is over without a decision on whether the confessed Al-Qaeda conspirator is responsible for the death of at least one person September 11th and therefore eligible for the death penalty. The jury spent a total of 12 and a half hours deliberating since it was given the case on Wednesday. The only communication from the jury room yesterday when the judge was asked to define weapons of mass destruction in helping them to decide. A survivor says panicked passengers were fighting each other and screaming after a party boat tilted over and capsized in the Persian Gulf. At least 57 people drowned. Two passengers are still unaccounted for. The U.S. Navy says it ended its rescue efforts when officials in Bahrain said they were no longer needed. This is Air America Radio News.
Back in my day. Cause I got a good feeling and I don't feel no pain at all. Friday is my day.
Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. It is Friday. Thanks very much for tuning into the program tonight. By the way, if you're in the Southeast, the Atlanta area, we invite you to come join us tomorrow for the Southern Regional March for Peace and Justice. There are going to be some very powerful speakers at this event tomorrow, and it's a march that begins at the King Center, I believe at noon, and goes to Piedmont Park. It's a lot of planning has gone into this, and hopefully we'll see you there. Okay, you can get more information about this at georgiapeace.org. Georgiapeace.org. We have just a tad more wit and wisdom from Bush south of the border, as he has been for the past few days. A little bit later in the program tonight, things aren't as harmonization as they seem. He made a new word. He made a word, a new word. I believe it's a new word. If it's not a new word, it certainly should be. So we will we'll play that for you a little bit. As a matter of fact, coming up here fairly quickly. Got an email last night. I was talking about, as we have several times in the past, about Bush's jaw movement back and forth, that sawing movement that he does. And I got an email from Jim in Granada Hills, California, who says, hi, Mike. I very much appreciate your presence on Air America. However, there's one sort of generalization of yours that I have a problem with, that compulsive lateral movement of the lower jaw as a result of cocaine abuse. As it pertains to Bush, I think you're probably right, but there are many of us with one form of TMJ disorder or another who do the same movement involuntarily, having had no history of cocaine use or abuse. The same can be said of many people who have Tourette's syndrome. And there are probably other disorders which cause similar behavior. Not trying to tell you what to do or not do, just want to remind you that speaking of it the way you do usually, speaking of it the way you do unjustly, lumps many of us into a category that makes us very uncomfortable. Well, to the extent that you felt that way, Jim, I apologize. All I can say is a lot of things said on this program are either sexist, racist, vile, full of venom, piss and vinegar, and I'm not trying to be smart alecky with you here. I mean, that's just the nature of this program. If a night goes by where someone isn't offended by what is heard on this program, that would truly surprise me. I would just ask you to take everything that you hear on this program in context. And, yes.
So, I'm sorry, but if I play in the odds and Bush either is a coke addict or has Tourette's or TMJ, I'm going with coke addict.
Right, but of course that's not what Jim meant.
Okay, Jim, sorry if you've got TMJ. My mom's got TMJ, and I know the difference. So, I'm sorry. I don't think Bush has TMJ, just my personal opinion.
Producer in feisty mood tonight. Producer needs to get more sleep, possibly. Something real nice happened over the past couple of days that we didn't even know about here on the Molloy program, existing in the buckle of the Bible Belt as we do, kind of out of the loop, just permanently out of the loop. Helen Thomas received, what was 108 dozen roses. There was a campaign put together to send Helen Thomas roses. And The Hill, the newspaper on Capitol Hill, puts it this way. The roses kept coming and coming and coming to the Hearst newspaper's office in downtown Washington on Thursday until they filled a large conference room to overflowing. And by the time FedEx delivery was complete, there were 108 dozen roses, nearly 1,300 in every color. They were the result of an email campaign to show support for Hearst columnist Helen Thomas after she grilled Bush about his Iraq policy at last week's White House news conference. The campaign was the brainchild of Clarity Sanderson, a 31-year-old Democratic activist from Sandy, Utah, a suburb of Salt Lake City, who was motivated by the sharp exchange between Ms. Thomas and Bush And by an op-ed article Helen Thomas wrote about the exchange in the Salt Lake Tribune. Sanderson said in a telephone interview Friday, those two things set me off. Sanderson is a work-at-home web designer and mother of two who is co-chairwoman of the Utah Democratic Progressive Caucus. She said she saw a note on the website democraticunderground.com suggesting that people email Thomas to thank her for asking Bush, quote, the questions all Americans want answered about Iraq, end quote. Sanderson said, I thought, let's take it a step further, and sent an email asking people to donate to her PayPal account, send roses to Thomas. Now, you all know Helen Thomas is the 85-year-old veteran White House journalist whose outspoken criticism of this crime family has drawn so much hate mail from Bush supporters. I got something in the mail, email, I don't know, several weeks ago, that was just vile, vicious. A contact, a friend at Media Matter, sent it to me, and it was just an off-the-record few comments about some of the stuff that Helen Thomas was getting. This 85-year-old woman who is, some of the email coming in from right-wingers, from the FreeRepublic.com crowd and you know, the Neil Bortz listeners and the Ed Schultz, Rush Limbaugh, well, I get them confused, the Sean Hannity listeners, people like that, is vile, just vile, attacks on an 85-year-old woman for attempting to do what the press should do. It's sick. Anyway, Helen Thomas said she was overwhelmed by the avalanche of roses. She said, it sure beats the brickbats, referring to those vitriolic emails. She went on to say, quote, some of them, the hate-filled emails, attack you ad hominem and call you a traitor and ask if you've ever been to Iraq. She said, I think it's a frustration of those who are angry with me and take it out in email. I think there should be a logical debate, but maybe that's not possible during an ongoing war. Close quote. She shared the roses with her bureau chief, Chuck Lewis, and other colleagues, and then sent the bulk of them to wounded military personnel at Walter Reed Army Hospital. Asked about Bush's response to her pointed question about his Iraq policy, she said, quote, he could not answer my question. He kept referring to Afghanistan. He's never articulated the reasons we're in Iraq. I don't think there's any justification for an unprovoked war against somebody who did nothing to us. End quote. And Clarity Sanderson, the woman who got this started, said she's never spoken with Thomas, but she did receive an email from her via the Hearst office manager, who wrote, Helen asked me to send you the following note, quote, blessed are the peacemakers. The bounty of beautiful roses from such wonderful people has lifted my heart and will remain in my memory for the rest of my life. Thank you for caring that others may live. End quote. Well, to the people at Democratic Underground and Clarity Sanderson, the woman from Sandy, Utah, bless your hearts, really. What a nice thing to do. What just a simple, nice thing to do. There's so few nice things going on anymore. You know, just comments made by this sucker Neil Bortz that Cynthia McKinney looks like. What did he say, like a ghetto whore?
Was he talking again?
Yeah,
somebody's got to stop that.
He's talking all the time. It's just I don't know. Okay, what we are going to do tonight is we have a couple of sound bites we're going to play for you from Bush, and he refers to Otto von Bismarck. Prince Otto von Bismarck as a wag, without realizing what he's talking about, of course. There's another item here, and we're going to take a lot of phone calls tonight. You know, I'm going to prattle on here for maybe the first segment or two of the program, and that's it. It's going to be you tonight. The phone number here is 866-303-2270. There's something else going on. It's called Christian conception parties. Have you heard about this? Oh, Christian conception parties. When we used to do this back in the day when we were single, back in the hippie era, it was called, you know, trying to get laid, a group lay, you know, people getting together and trying to get laid. But They're called Christian conception parties. I don't know if you're going to believe this or not, but it's true. And also an email that's making the rounds has a bunch of remember whens in it. So stick around. It is Friday. We're going to try to act like we live in a rational world filled with rational people to some extent. All right? I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America. All you want to do is use me. Oh, girl. Oh, my answer. Baby. To all that you've missed.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Spring is here, and everywhere you look, the colors are in full bloom. Even at your neighborhood Ace Hardware. We have thousands of the trendiest paint colors, and better yet, we can custom match any color you bring in. Hurry into Ace Hardware today for a great deal on Ace Royal Flat Interior Paint. Buy up to 10 gallons of Ace Royal for just $13.99 each after a $5 mail-in rebate. See store for details. Ace, the helpful place.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
So let's say you go shopping and you walk into the first store you come to. The store says, hey, no need to shop those other stores. We'll give you our price and theirs too. Well, you think, that would save you time. But then you come to your senses. How do you really know if you're getting the best deal?
Car insurance websites that promise multiple rate quotes can't speak for GEICO. Shop for yourself at GEICO.com. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
And we're a country of deep compassion. We care. One of the great things about America, one of the beauties of our country, is that when we see a young, innocent child blown up by an IED, we cry.
Oh, God. The thing about the thing about name calling, if there is some truth to it, I never have any problem with it. Like referring to Rush Limbaugh as a drug using criminal. I guess I fudged a little bit on the word criminal because he hasn't been convicted of anything yet. But drug using criminal seems to fit him. Idiotic clone or Russia's lapdog seems to fit Sean Hannity, a guy that's never had an original thought in his life. Calling George W. Bush a mass killer. You know, there's some, I think anyway, some truth behind some of the names that I use against these thugs. But to refer as Republican men always attack women. Always attack women. Whether it was Hillary Clinton or Chelsea Clinton, it doesn't make any difference. Republican men, because they are all cowards, and the more public persona they maintain, the greater is their cowardice. That is a rule in a Republican menhood isms or whatever. Bortz referring to Cynthia McKinney, an elected member of Congress, as a ghetto slut, is astonishing. Jack Kingston, who is a congressman from South Georgia, or from Georgia, referred to Cindy Sheehan as a nutcase in a committee hearing, I think yesterday. One thing you can be certain of Republican men, they always attack women, always. Their wives usually live in terror for fear that these psychopaths will go off on them. By the same token, Republican men are the type who will hire a disciplinarian. You know what I'm referring to. Will hire someone, usually a woman dressed in black hip boots, or a man dressed in black hip boots, who will flail their bare asses with a whip. This is what Republican men are into. They're deeply into the S&M stuff, or bondage and discipline. Now, how do I know this? When I finally sit down to write the book, I will put in the book some things I know about certain people and risk the lawsuits. I swear I will do it. Kathy's sitting out there going, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. Well, oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes.
Just wait till we have Molly's college fund all funded.
And then do it. Okay. But the attack on women by Republican men, conservative men, always conservative men, always. When do you hear, I'm serious, when do you hear a bona fide liberal or a progressive or even a Democrat attacking an ad hominem attack against a woman? Well, what about you, Malloy, when you talk about Ma Barker, the woman whose loins spewed out four vicious sons who have done everything they could to rape the United States? Well, okay, you got a point there. But again, the truth is that either there's an element of truth behind it or there isn't. What makes Cynthia McKinney a ghetto slut? What makes Cindy Sheehan a nutcase? You see what I'm saying? Oy. The only thing you can say about Neil Bortz is that he's very upfront about his racism, very upfront about it, and he doesn't care who knows about it. He's a son of the South. He embraces racism and white male superiority, the way most people breathe. And if you listen to him, you know, I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. If you have ever heard Bortz's program, you know what I'm talking about. All right, when we come back, a couple of sound bites from Chuckle Nuts from today. Are these from today, Kathy? I guess so. Stick around. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy.
Is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. When you call 1-800-989-4200, you get a real person within seconds, not a 5-minute menu of buttons to push. Here's another old-fashioned idea. My 8-pound Oreck XL vacuums are built to last long after you've thrown the other brands away. Call 1-800-989-4200. I'll send you one to try risk-free for 30 days. Of course, if you'd rather talk to a machine, you can always call someone else.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement, and now we're trying to develop a Silver Rights Movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, 3 buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. 2 little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4-K-9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Search Dog USA.
Got the flying monkey right blues? Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
Twenty-six before the hour. Chucklenuts was in Cancun with President Fox in Mexico and Prime Minister Harper of Canada today. And we have a few comments from that. I want you to hear this. There they all were, Raisin Brain without his Speedo, and other leaders of the other two leaders of the Americas trying to concentrate on the reporters' questions and not the pretty blue sky and surf and butterflies in the air and other tropical distractions. Ever watch Bush? When the people around him are trying to focus, he kind of goes off, just kind of drifts off, looks at his hands, look at the pretty butterflies, looks at takes a deep breath, checks the lint in his belly button. Anyway, he had this to say. Now, here's a new word.
I want to thank the CEOs and the business leaders from the three countries who are here. I thought we had a very constructive discussion about ways to make sure that there's harmonization between our between our industries.
There is harmonization between our industries. I don't know. Is that a new word? You know, I invented a word once. It's called antisappointment. But harmonization, that there is harmonization between our industries. Okay. The first note in that harmony is to reduce wages, of course. I'm sure there is harmonization, George. I'm sure there is. Between or among you and the CEOs and presidents and business leaders there. Not the politicians. Politicians have nothing to do any longer with policies of national importance. Those decisions are now made by corporations who get invited into old Dick Cheney's office, and the decisions are made there. Here he is again, trying real hard to concentrate on the issues. Raisin Brain tries to answer this reporter's question. The question is, Mr. President. Before I give the question, for some reason, Chucklenut starts talking about wags making sausage. I don't know, maybe all that good Mexican red hair has given him the munchies. I have no idea. But here's a reporter's question. Mr. President, would you veto an immigration bill that did not include a guest worker program? And how do you counter the angry argument from conservatives on Capitol Hill who are saying that your demand for a guest worker program could hurt the Republican Party this fall?
I believe if someone has been here in our country illegally, they should not get at the head of the line if they want to become a citizen. In other words, we have a line of people waiting. People who are in our country legally, waiting to become a citizen. And people who have been in our country illegally should not get ahead of the line who there is legally. A nation of laws can also be a welcoming nation. And I believe a guest worker program will help us rid of the society and the border of these coyotes who smuggle people in the back of 18-wheelers.
Coyotes.
And I'm looking forward to working with the Congress. We're making, as told the President, we're making progress. You know, there's a legislative process. It's, some wag one time quipped is like, watching people make sausage.
Well, no, not actually, Chucklenuts. It wasn't some wag. It was Otto von Bismarck. Otto von Bismarck. Yeah. He was born about 200 years ago, Chucklenuts. And what he said was, those who love sausage and obey the law should not watch either being made. So I don't know if you could call Prince Otto von Bismarck Schönhausen a wag. Jesus Christ. A wag. He was one of the people that engineered the unification of several of the states of Germany. Chucklenuts. So, some guy, some wag, one time quipped, it's like watching people make sausage, the legislative process. No, that's not what the WAG said. But nice try. Last Q&A before Bush had to go get some burritos and flan before he passed out. Reporter says, Mr. President, could you explain to Canadians why they'll need to have a passport or an unspecified secure document before they cross over to the United States? And what would the impact be on both of our countries economically if Canada doesn't follow through by the deadline of the end of next year?
Congress passed a law, and I intend to enforce the law. But the law said there ought to be a passport or passport-like document that I believe, if properly implemented, will facilitate travel and facilitate trade, not hinder travel and trade.
Oh.
And the reason I believe that is I think we can be wise about the use of technologies envision a card that it can be swiped across a reading device that facilitates the movement of people. And again, I repeat to you, I believe this can be done in such a way that it makes future travel, future relations stronger, not weaker.
I have a vague memory of somewhere, is it the USA Patriot Act? Or some legislation passed by America's Nazis that Canadians are going to need, when they say passport-like document, what the hell does that mean? It's either a passport or it isn't. Canadians are going to need this. I don't know if it's all Canadians or if white native Canadians are exempted. I have no idea. I don't know if it means, is Canada going to reciprocate now? Are Americans going to need to have a passport-like document to go across the Ambassador Bridge in Detroit and into downtown Windsor? What the hell is going on? Canada and the United States? But the longest unprotected border between two countries on the planet, and all of a sudden, the American Nazis are implementing passports? Or passport-like documents? But Bush, of course, being way ahead of the curve, as he always is, and has to explain to those of us who just can't quite grasp what he's saying, takes a moment here. He says, envision a card that can be swiped across a reading device that facilitates the movement of people. Like a credit card? Or one of those cards you use at a grocery chain now, George? The UPC code on it, like your dad was mystified about when he finally came out of his bunker way back in, when was it? I don't know, 1988 or 89, and your dad went to a grocery store and the items were being scanned, beep, 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 and your dad looked at it like, Jesus H. Christ, what is this? Where did they? Is that what you're talking about, George? Okay, Canadians, get your cards ready. I don't know. Maybe y'all know more about this than I do. I don't know. But George says the passport-like document will facilitate travel. Facilitate. Make it facile. Make it easy, quick. I see. Okay, so if we all have passports, well, at least the Canadians, it'll make it easier for you guys to travel. It'll make it faster. And it will make trade faster. I don't know how that'll work. I don't know. When the Canadians ship us whatever of the hundreds of thousands of products that Canadians ship us, is each box going to have a little passport-like? Oh, Jesus, I don't know. It's too much for me. It's just too much. That's all we're going to torture you with from Bush tonight. I can't deal with it. I do seem to vaguely remember something about at some point the American Nazis were going to force Canadians to produce papers other than a driver's license to come into the United States of America. Passport-like papers. I just can't comment on it. I really can't. All right, quick break. When we come back, the last thing I'm going to dump into the mix here tonight, I think, at least for right now, is these Christian conception parties. Now, by conception, I'm talking about actual sexual intercourse that the result of which hopefully will produce a conception and ultimately a little bitty baby. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
Oh, no, it's kind of strange. I'm the last sensitive cowboy. Oh, no, no, it's true. I'm a sensitive cowboy and I don't know what to do. Oh, no, it's kind of strange. I'm the last sensitive cowboy on the range.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here, and you can hear me, of course, on Air America Radio. If you're as fed up with the Bush crime family as I am, you need to go to ImpeachBushGame.com. That's ImpeachBushGame.com, where you can get the new board game, Impeached, that points out the lies, incompetence, and stupidity of George W. and the entire Bush crime family. You'll have fun playing this eye-opening board game that dares to peek into the Bush administration. Impeached will challenge your ability to lie, cheat, and steal. I'm for real here. Order your game now at ImpeachBushGame.com.
Have you ever found a penny on the ground? Of course you have. Well, imagine that for the next 50,000 steps you take, there's always a penny at your feet. It feels like that.
Have you ever put on a pair of clean pants and found a $20 bill in the pocket? Man, that's a good feeling, right? Well, take that feeling and multiply it by 25 pairs of pants, and you're close.
New GEICO customers report average annual savings of $500 on their car insurance. Discover how it feels and how much you could save. Go to GEICO.com. Simple as that.
McCoy. And now, the man conservatives love to hate, it's Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. A couple emails here from AJ. Mike, I can't take another night of hard drinking. I'm just now recovering from the hangover I received last night while listening to blank, referring to Bush, spew forth his nonsensicalness. See, it's catching. I beggeth of you to cease and desist all Bush speak tapes. I'm pouring my first drink now. My sobriety is in your hands from this point on. Pray for me. AJ, didn't you read the story in the Times? Prayer really doesn't do anything. Oh, well. And this is from one of our Canadian listeners. I haven't heard any suggestion that Americans would need passports to enter Canada, but I've heard that Americans traveling to Canada will need a passport to re-enter the USA. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, right. Okay. And then from Prairie 2. Hell, Mike, the real ID law, is that what it's called, that takes effect after the election will require Americans to carry a card like that, complete with RFID chips, so you don't even have to swipe it. It can be read as you walk by, just like when you try to leave Walmart with something that hasn't had the chip turned off. The only place in the world that uses anything like this is Palestine. Well, that's education for me. Let's go from the ridiculous to the sublime. This is from swiftreport.blogs.com. It says thousands of Christian couples plan to celebrate the occasion of their Savior's creation by attending conception parties this weekend. This is the March 24th. This weekend, I guess. Conception parties. They're intimate gatherings where the conception of the world's most famous baby is lovingly reenacted. Fans of the parties say that this is a way of livening up the culture of life. But some Christians say that they're uncomfortable celebrating the pregnancy of a teenage girl, even if the father was a heavenly one. And then this from Fort Worth, Texas. Well, the vast majority of Christians in the U.S. will spend this weekend marking a tragedy, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ upon the cross on Easter Sunday, a small but determined minority plans to celebrate their Savior with a bang. Really? Against a backdrop of farmland, city streets, even mountain vistas, this merry band will spend tonight marking not Christ's death, but his conception. They're called conception parties, intimate gatherings where creation of the world's most famous baby is lovingly and literally recreated, and for a few lucky couples, the event will pay off in a big way. Since the biblical bashes burst onto the scene just 5 years ago, 13 couples have gotten pregnant as a result of attending the gatherings. Two of the lucky mothers went on to have children, both girls, who share Christ's December birthday. Fort Worth resident and party host Earl Silos says, "It's just a lot of fun. We'll bake a ham, put out bowls of macaroni salad and potato salad. People can relax a little, take a load off." He says that he's expecting 25 married couples to attend tonight's festivities. Marriage is a condition of attendance, says Silos, who advertised the event at his church, on local Christian message boards, and on telephone poles in his neighborhood. Silos says he got the idea from his brother-in-law, who has hosted a conception. No, this is not from The Onion. Who has hosted a conception party in Pascagoula, Mississippi since 1999. Today, notes Silos, his brother-in-law's annual bash attracts upwards of 100 people, including many town notables. Silos says he does it up with a deep-fried turkey, the whole shebang. We're a little less fancy around here. We keep most of the attention on the main event. The article goes on, but not everyone is enamored of the idea of celebrating Christ's conception, especially in the form of physical reenactments that even participants admit can get out of hand. Some Christians say that they're reluctant to shine a spotlight on the events surrounding Mary's pregnancy. Christ's mother was only a teenager, after all, and according to Matthew, a friend of the couple, she was not actually married to Joseph. Matthew wrote in a tell-all account, quote, "When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost," end quote. Now, if Matthew's version is correct, Mary's actions would contradict the teachings of many abstinence-only education programs, which encourage women to remain pure virgins until their wedding nights. For many critics, the new popularity of conception parties is a disturbing reminder of their faith's pagan past. Yeah. But for thousands of Christians who plan to don party dresses and suit jackets, tonight's parties represent nothing more than a chance to celebrate one of history's most magical moments. Earl Silas's wife, Carol, says, obviously none of us is going to be lucky enough to get pregnant by him, so this is the next best thing. We're celebrating what turned out to be the biggest night of Mary's life. Is this for real? Apparently it is. They also quote Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, a practicing Mormon and a likely presidential Republican candidate in 2008. He raised eyebrows earlier this year with his statement that, quote, marriage should be between a man and a woman, and a woman, and a woman. Oh, these folks are real fun. Conception parties? Is this real? I think it is. A conception party. I can remember those. They used to have those, what was the place? In Plato's Retreat. Wasn't that in Manhattan? I can remember reading about that in Hustler. I only got Hustler to read the articles. And the people get together and, you know, have married couples would get together and have sex. Not with each other, but with other married couples. So, I don't know. Christian conception parties. Is this real? All right, quick break. When we come back, your phone calls. And a little bit later, we're going to share with you an email making the rounds. But phone calls when we come back. The number here is 866-303-2270. Join us. I'm Mike Malloy on Air America.
On Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance and are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. Immigration, a big topic for George Bush at his meeting today with leaders of Canada and Mexico. He defended a plan that requires Canadians to produce secure documents to cross the border. He also wants Mexico to do more to keep immigrants from entering America illegally. Democratic Party leader Howard Dean and George Bush agree when it comes to guest worker status for undocumented workers. But Dean says Bush needs to do more to stop what he called divisive rhetoric on Capitol Hill. Howard Dean says, quote, right-wing extremists are trying to turn Hispanics into scapegoats. John Dean, Richard Nixon's White House lawyer, wants the Senate to censure or possibly impeach George Bush. John Dean says Bush's domestic spying is worse than Watergate. John Dean says if Nixon had been warned with a censure measure from Congress, Watergate might have been prevented. A former top aide to Congressman Tom DeLay pleading guilty today to conspiracy as part of the Washington lobbying investigation. Tony Rudy admits he conspired with Jack Abramoff both while Rudy was working for DeLay and after he left to become a lobbyist himself, Rudy promising to help with the investigation of bribery and lobbying fraud. Georgia Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney waiting to see if she will be charged for an altercation with a Capitol police officer while entering a Capitol building. McKinney's lawyer says she was mistreated because, quote, of how she looks and the color of her skin. A bill that would allow women in Colorado to get the morning after pill straight from a pharmacist is going to the governor. Under the bill, a pharmacist could dispense it without a prescription. Governor Bill Owens says he's not decided whether to sign or veto the measure. General Motors' primary auto parts supplier, Delphi, asking a bankruptcy court to cancel its labor contracts. Delphi's move to close plants and lay off thousands of workers could provoke a strike by the United Auto Workers, and that could push General Motors even closer to Chapter 11 bankruptcy. There are conflicting reports today about the status of contract talks between the Federal Aviation Administration and the Air Traffic Controllers Union. The union says the talks have ended. The agency says the opposite. Being called a screening equipment failure at Nashville International Airport and an isolated incident, according to the Transportation Security Administration, all U.S. international airports had to be alerted to the failure because other airports use the same software. The failure, a major headache for travelers in Nashville, with baggage checks by hand and long delays. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. I want to remind you, if you are anywhere in the southeastern United States, close to Atlanta, you know, where it's not a hassle to get here, tomorrow, starting around noon, the Southern Regional March for Peace and Justice. The march is from the Martin Luther King Center to Piedmont Park. And there is a whole lineup of speakers. I've been invited I've been given 5 minutes. So it should be a very interesting day. I hope you can make it if you're in the southeastern United States, especially if you are anywhere within, you know, a couple hours drive to Atlanta. Come on by. To get more information on this, georgiapeace.org. I think Cynthia, according to the schedule, I speak right before Cynthia McKinney speaks. That'll be fun. I can't wait to ask her up close and personal what's going on with the hassle in D.C. You know what I'm talking about. The event that made Neil Bortz, a huge, overfed, stuffed white man, refer to her as a ghetto slut. Yeah. Okay, let's do some phone calls here. Let's start with Will, who's calling from Michigan. Will, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Will.
Wanted to follow up on my last call. I called you on Monday and talked to you about a funeral in my area for
about the Westboro, Kansas Baptist Church and Reverend Fred Phelps.
I did some Googling and found out that there's an organization called the Patriot Guard Riders.
Yeah.
And they're an apolitical organization. There's people on the left and the right.
They're bikers.
Yeah, they're bikers.
Right.
And you don't have to ride to join with them, but they basically put up a curtain of American flags to block the view so the family doesn't have to...
Mm-hmm.
To suffer the
sickness, the anti-Christ attitude of this sick bastard. You know, Fred Phelps said in an interview one time that he, I'm paraphrasing here a little bit, but he anticipates and desires assassination. He thinks that I guess martyrs in other faiths believe. That if he is shot down or murdered in a situation where he feels he's defending the Christian faith, that will give him instant entree to what he conceives to be heaven. So I think he's looking to be shot, murdered, or at least beaten up. And I think that's one of the reasons he decided to take his filthy demonstrations from the funerals or the interments of gay folk who have died or people who have died of AIDS, and take it to the funerals of soldiers who have died having absolutely nothing to do with this sick bastard's issue, and that is his unbridled hatred of homosexuality. So he's really pushing the envelope, going to the funerals. And showing up with signs that say, "Well, God killed your son because America supports homosexuality," or whatever his attitude now is. But he's looking. He wants to be murdered. He wants to be assassinated.
I just wanted to call in, and I can't really speak for the organization because I just joined just a couple days ago. But I wanted to plug their website. It's PatriotGuard.org.
PatriotGuard.org. Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Will. Thanks for the website.
No problem.
All right. Take care. Yeah, Will wanted to give the website, and I go off on Fred Phelps. PatriotGuard.org. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard of it too. Guys on and gals on Harleys or whatever they ride, showing up to provide a curtain of protection, privacy. I have to admire these people for not jumping off their bikes and grabbing Phelps and his sick little band of family freaks and just pummeling them. I could never do anything like that. I just couldn't do it. I would be engulfed by the rage, just engulfed. Whether it is the death of a gay person or a not gay person or a soldier or not a soldier or someone who died of AIDS or not AIDS, it doesn't make any difference to have these kind of folks show up with that kind of sickness. And I can't write it off and just say, well, they're sick, ignore them. I wish I could. That's my major character flaw, I guess, is I can't. If I were attending a funeral of a friend who was killed in Bush's war or a friend who died of AIDS or not AIDS or whatever, and I saw something like that, the rage would engulf me and just engulf me. I really lack self-control there. And that's one of the things I used to try to work on in therapy. And it just I never found that button or that lever that I can activate to take away that kind of rage. I can't. I just can't do it. So I tend to stay away from situations that might trigger that, because I truly am fearful of what could happen. That's all. So I, PatriotGuard.org, good for them. I respect those people, those men and women who have the presence of mind, the centeredness to do that without becoming extremely violent, which is what I would do. I would become extremely violent. Can't do it. You know, the older you get, the more you understand your own limitations. And, it's one thing to strive toward a certain balance or what have you. And I've spent enough time in my life doing that, like I'm sure you have. But there are just, right? Do you agree with me? There's certain parts of your life where you just know that you can't trust yourself to be in that particular situation. You literally can't. You hope things would be okay if you get in that situation, but it's just one of those areas where you can't go there. Now, I'm not saying everyone's like that. A lot of folks have reached. A lot of people listen to this program, email me. I read their emails, and I have great respect and more than a little envy for people who have found that kind of balance. Maybe someday, Mike, when you grow up, right? Aaron is calling from Minnesota. Aaron, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how you feeling tonight?
Hey, feeling feeling good.
Feeling good, all right. Well, I've been listening to you now for about 5 months, and I first off just want to say I think it's amazing that you and I are generations apart, and yet I absolutely love your taste in music. So out of all of them and Air America, thanks for, putting your influences in there.
Okay, let me clarify something here, Aaron. I don't want to disillusion you, but... your taste and my taste in music are probably generations apart, but my wife is probably more your age. She is the one that handles the music. All the selections are hers.
Okay.
A lot of this comes from our music bureau chief, Jim in Arkansas. Kathy gets MP3s that come in from people who send in tunes or cuts. We get CDs in the mail, but all the music on this program, all the production on this program is Kathy. I'd like to take credit, but she said if I did, she'd kick my ass. So
all right. Well, in any case, I mean, I'm sure that's not really why I'm calling. I just thought,
I just want to make sure that credit goes where credit's due, because she's the one that handles the music. But that's a nice thing for you to say. I appreciate that very much.
Well, in any case, I just started getting into national politics. I'm 23 here. I'm definitely a...
Can you hold on a second? Can you hold on a second? Because, I kept going there, Aaron, and now we got to take a break. All right? Hold on?
No problem.
All right, we'll come right back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy on Air America.
You come, you'll build a fire. Something new, something new. Won't you come?
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. I was walking in the park and somebody stopped me and said, I'm tired of taping up the leaks in my old vacuum and then having to buy another one every 2 years. I'm going to buy an Orrick. Friends, why should manufacturers stop making throwaway vacuums when you keep buying them? For a vacuum that lasts and lasts, call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and try an 8-pound Orrick XL risk-free for 30 days.
Spring is here, and everywhere you look, the colors are in full bloom, even at your neighborhood Ace Hardware. We have thousands of the trendiest paint colors, and better yet, we can custom match any color you bring in. Hurry into Ace Hardware today for a great deal on Ace Royal Flat Interior Paint. Buy up to 10 gallons of Ace Royal for just $13.99 each after a $5 mail-in rebate. See store for details. Ace, the helpful place.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Mike Malloy Show, you are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
21 past the hour. We were talking with Aaron in Minnesota. Let's go back to Aaron. All right, where were we, Aaron?
What's up? No, I was just mentioning earlier that, just within the last year or so of my life, I've just started getting into national politics.
Right.
And I'm definitely astounded at the at what's going on here. The current administration's war on facts or whatever they do, I don't know. I have a lot to say here, so bear with me while I try to collect my disjointed thoughts.
Sure.
The question I have is really what I've heard yesterday and today. You play a whole bunch of quotes from Bush.
Uh-huh.
I just want to know why you continue to do this. Why torture yourself? It's like you're stuck on the argument that he's a moron, but who are you trying to convince? We all know this.
Okay. There's a couple of reasons I do it. First of all, to me, it is there's an element of sick humor every time this guy opens his mouth. And Kathy pulls these sound clips for me, the sound bites for the program, actually. And usually the first time, not usually, always the first time I hear them is when the audience hears them. Our radio audience. So to me, there's that. There's the giggle factor, the geek factor, the freak out factor. To listen to this guy constantly do this. So there's some personal fun I get out of that. Now the second reason, and this is probably the one that should be the first reason, since I do talk radio and it's a nationally syndicated program, and we're on in scores of markets, all sorts of radio stations, and you know, and I know. That networks don't play, the television will not play this geek saying things like this that really displays his ignorance, his duplicity, his lies, his inability to even put together a coherent sentence. So that part of it, that part of the reason we play it is kind of like a public service. We want people, at least those who listen to this program, and people who might not be regular listeners just flipping through the dial, and all of a sudden they hear Bush, and they say, oh, well, I love George Bush. He's my great president. Let me listen to what he's saying. And they hear this nonsense. Maybe they'll go, must be a communist radio program. Does that get it for you?
Yeah, I know. I just feel like we could be, not, you know, we in collectively could be spending more of our time on, like, high-level theories and not wasting our time trying to...
Yeah, but wait. Aaron, the mission statement of this program, and I've said this a couple times, maybe you've missed it, I'm not here to educate or to explain or to provide articulate and erudite guests who can provide information necessary to all of our survival. There are programs on this network that do that, and God bless them for it. Here's the mission statement of the Molloy program. We're here to vent. We're here as a group to kick ass, to scream if necessary, to say, oh my God, don't tell me this is really happening. There's got to be some place on the dial, Aaron, where people get together and just scream. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, and that's a good point. And actually, this is kind of something I've always wanted to say out loud, and I've never really been able to.
Yeah.
The major difference that I see between liberals and conservatives, at least what I see in the media, conservatives think the world is being run very smoothly, and uh-huh. I think all they need is words to prove it. And I think liberals, they look at actions, and words aren't just going to cut it for them. And that's what I'm seeing. I think that Bush can go up there and say, hey, you know, don't worry, everything's fine, mm-hmm. it's okay. And when he's, you know, coherent, sounds convincing.
Yeah, it's a different. I think it's a difference between fantasy, that would be Republicans, and reality, that would be liberals. Or Democrat, the conservatives and liberals. So I think you're hitting it pretty close to the bullseye there. The difference between the two. I think you're absolutely right. But
yeah.
Again, when you tune in this program, remember I'm not here to teach you anything. I'm here to provide a forum where you can join with thousands of other people who, at the end of the day or the end of the week, just get together and say, oh, man, did you hear what this dumbass said today? It's kind of like getting together at the local bar. You know what I'm saying? Where you get together and have a beer, and everybody sits around and goes, geez, I don't believe this. You know, here's what happened at the office. Here's what happened in the shop. Here's what happened at the bowling league. Here's what happened at the PTA meeting. You see what I'm saying?
No, I got you. Okay. I understand.
All right. Thanks, Aaron.
Sure.
Thanks for checking in. I appreciate it. But the real reason is I just like to hear this doofus make a total ass of himself. That's the real reason that we do it. And, you know, since the program is streamed on the Internet and we have listeners around the globe, as does any program streamed on the Internet now. It's not just this one. But Because we have listeners around the globe, this gives people, not just Americans, but people of different nationalities a chance to hear an unfiltered, well, I shouldn't say that. It's filtered, but it's filtered a different way. A version of a Bush. I mean, everything we do on this program is certainly designed to not present a balanced point of view. I'm not into balance. That's the only point where Reagan and I agreed. Screw balance, right, Ronnie? Let's just hit them right in the groin where they can really feel it. The problem with that, of course, is that 99% of the shots to the groin have come from the right. Oh, by the way, did you know our network is 2 years old? Happy birthday, Air America Radio. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
By some wise souls, determined to put the mark into democracy. The decisions they're making are much too big for you or me. So, facing the tide of negative news, liberal lies, and left-leaning views that our enemies would spread.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Search Dog USA.
The lies, incompetence, greed, and pure stupidity of the Bush crime family are all revealed in the game Impeached. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Mike Malloy. And if you despise this crime family like I do, you need to visit ImpeachBushGame.com and buy the only board game that's bold enough to tell it like it is. Go to ImpeachBushGame.com, buy your game, and check out the Bush, Satan Rove, and Deadeye Dick Voodoo Dolls. I've got my game, and I'm sticking pins in my Bush Voodoo Doll right now! So visit ImpeachBushGame.com. And join in on the fun today.
We'll be right back.
work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in, to kind of catapult the propaganda.
Yeah, now the applause is not on the Pink Floyd album either. Pink Floyd CD. It's about 25 before the hour. Well, let me bump him up to the front of the lines because I'm afraid his cell phone's going to run out. Brother Sky Blue is checking in from Memphis. Hey, Brother Sky.
Mike, you've heard about the 666 out of the Book of the Revelation?
Yes, I have.
Well, these are the end times, all right, but it's the end times for Jerry Falwell and this bunch of religious fanatics that have the airwaves in America. Because, you see, God placed two lights in the heaven, the big light, the sun. Jesus said at the end of the age, the sun and the moon would turn. Sun represents charity or love, the heat from the sun. The moon, the reflected moonlight, represents faith or truth. But anyway, Mike, I'd like to talk a little bit, but I'd like to talk about Emanuel Swedenborg's interpretation of the book of Genesis. But since we're talking about politics, I've been thinking, listening all week about this immigration debate.
Uh-huh.
I ride my bicycle by these job sites. They have these Mexicans. I scream out on my bike, papers! And boy, the job site closes down, man. Everybody starts scrambling.
Hello? Hello? I wonder if Brother Sky Blue is an immigrant from a different dimension, from Saturn. Well, we had him for a minute there.
Papers!
Oh, my God. Okay.
Don't yell that in front of Home Depot.
That's true. Okay, hold on just a second while I... Okay. Paul is calling from South Lyon, Michigan. Paul, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi, Mike.
Hey.
Yeah, I think we are living in a conservative twilight zone. We really are. But this crime family, this... I view them as just they're the pirates of all time, this Bush, what you call the Bush crime family. Everything they do is for extortion.
That's the truth.
Everything. It doesn't matter the passport deal. It's all connected to the company, corporation, something. And the war in Iraq is just totally just extortion of all time of America's assets. And what I don't understand, so I'm going to throw a hypothesis out right now.
Sure.
What is wrong with people in this country? There's about, 36%? They refuse to recognize that they're destroying themselves, you know?
And supporting, and they continue to support Bush.
They're supporting their own demise. And is it something? Is there mad cow disease taking place with these people that are eating the bad beef? Is it,
Well, you know, the quick answer is...
on Prozac, or the zombies on Prozac, or is it, they're so immaturely arrogant that they can't recognize that they're being conned and they're being had. There has to be a cause and effect here.
Well, I was going to say the quick answer is the old saw, there's none so blind as those who will not see. You know, when you're heavily invested in a certain political ideology because you're very, very afraid to step out of that ideology, and if that political ideology has somehow been wedded to a religious ideology, and I think the 36 or 37% that still support this killer are the evangelical Christians.
I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt you, but we've all been wrong-headed in life. You can't go through life without being wrong-headed. I've been wrong-headed. I've learned that's maturity.
And these people
just can't recognize it. I can't understand it. Maybe there'll be a psychologist can call you and understand it, because we have to ask it, because there's something wrong here. You can't have this many people. This presidency is nothing like in the history of human existence. We've seen anything like this.
I certainly agree with you. In the history of American presidencies, there's never been anyone so stupid who at the same time had so much destructive power at his fingertips. So,
right, and and there's something wrong with this man. You can't put two words together.
Yeah,
he's got the power to you know, he's the most powerful man in the world right now with pushing the button.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's, but I can't see how people can't recognize these things. We got to stop this. I know, like you said, we're venting. That's what I like about your show. We can only vent. And maybe it'll come around. I'm hoping, but I guess, you know, hope don't get you so far. You know how that goes.
Mm-hmm. Sure, absolutely. Well, thanks, Paul. I appreciate your input. Thanks for checking. All right, thank you. I appreciate that very much. I have the same question. I don't know. There were times when I guess I have clung to a particular political ideology, even though when I started to become aware that it was not working towards my best interests and didn't care if I lived or died, and as a matter of fact would probably feel much better if I did die because I became a reactionary force, and of course I'm talking about the DLC Democrats, and I continue to cling to Democratic Party ideals, which I think is different from the hardcore Bush supporters. Hardcore Bush supporters, I don't think, are clinging to any ideal whatsoever. I think they're clinging to fear. When you wed political ideology with religious ideology, you come up with something that is that carries with it the possibility of becoming very, very dangerous and very, very ugly and very, very blind. You know, come on, just look at history. Look at world history for that. That's an easy one. And I also believe, and I don't want to piss off people who you know, live their belief system. I really don't. But as far as I'm concerned, religion infantilizes people. I mean that. I really, really do. Especially these monotheistic religions. Now, if you subscribe to some spiritual belief system that doesn't have some daddy-like God sitting somewhere on a throne, hurling thunderbolts, so to speak, or ignoring your ass completely, then good for you. But these, you know, the people of the book, you know, there's something that infantilizes human beings. As far as I'm, it's just my opinion. Sorry. Well, no, I'm not sorry, but I mean, I'm sorry if it didn't insult you. But that's one of the reasons why I absolutely, utterly, and completely reject religion. Just completely. Or any concept of some benevolent slash pissed off God somewhere who, has a balance scale and says, well, okay, well, I think I'll kill 30 million people today because they really pissed me off. You know, no, I'm sorry. I think I'll give this couple's kid a car wreck because they haven't lived on the straight and narrow. No, sorry. Ain't going there. Won't go there. And I do believe that people who believe in some heavenly father, listen to the term, is being infantilized to a degree that they might not even be aware of. So that's my anti-religion bash nasty ass comment for tonight. Sorry. That's, you know who I am. You know what I do. You know what I, you know, I don't make any secret about it whatsoever. So as far as the 36, 37, 38% that still support the psychopath, and the question is why, I think the answer lies somewhere in there. Infantilized adults who are terrified of stepping outside their political slash religious belief system for fear that demons will devour them instantly or rip their heads off and urinate in their necks. I don't know what their fear is, but to me it's fear. It certainly is not a positive outlook on life in general or their own lives that keep them as followers of George W. Bush. That is an impossibility. Even for these mega rich suckers, they're just using Bush. They're backing him because they know that he will cut all the slack in the world for their particular economic class. So, you know, they're not afraid of him. They're not afraid of anybody. If they want to, they can start wars. That particular 2, 3, 4%. But beneath that, the other 32, 33, 34%, as far as I'm concerned, they're terrified. But it's a kind of fear that I equate with cowardice. It's not the kind of fear that I personally equate with genuine reactive chemical rush inside your body because something's about to harm you. My, he certainly goes on, doesn't he? Ron is calling from Wellsboro, PA. Ron, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I just wanted to kind of enlighten you as much as I am able to do that. Sorry, that sounded really pompous.
Well, go ahead. I always seek enlightenment.
But the term harmonization exists.
It does.
In trade policy, it's based in IMF, International Monetary Fund.
Okay.
Policies under what they call structural readjustment policies. And basically what the harmonization is, or downward harmonization, it's a effort by industry to replace a variety of product standards and other regulatory policies adopted by nations to undermine, you know, like a country's ability to protect its environment. They have this thing called a Codex Alimentarius. It's about what people actually eat. So downward harmonization for just this, you know, in the CAFT and NAFTA sense is basically
It's another term for unbridled greed.
Well, it's a way to destroy.
Hey, hold on a second. Hold on a second, Ron. I got to take a break here. Hold on. We'll come right back. This is Air America.
When they say, repent.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement, and now we're trying to develop a Silver Rights Movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
Mike Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey-free zone.
Nine before the hour, we're talking with Ron in Westboro, PA. All right, so downward harmonization is a real term, but in listening to you explain it to me, I don't know how anybody except someone with an advanced MBA, if such a thing exists, could ever have gotten to the real meaning of that word, that term.
Well, I read a book by Peter Drucker years ago called The Age of Discontinuity that really kind of outlined what downward harmonization is. Basically, what it is a strategy to reduce, like, social benefits and weaken labor standards. And it's based around these structural readjustment policies, which basically it enforces, like, poor countries to reduce spending on
things. So Bush had no idea of the real meaning of the term, or he was out there saying for all the world to see that he wants to get together with the business leaders and send in a downward spiral wages, benefits, and everything in all
three
countries.
Worker protections, environmental standards, the whole thing. And I think it was very—it's very euphemistic what he said. I mean, I think he knew what he was saying, despite the fact that I think he's a giggling killer, like you call him, and a bumbling Indian. But whenever I hear that, it kind of makes my skin crawl, because downward harmonization is a nice way of saying screwing everybody who's poor.
But how would Bush know that term? He is the most ignorant man ever to occupy the Oval Office. Did someone just give him that term and he doesn't really understand it?
Well, I think he plays with it like a toy, because to him it doesn't have any import. He's a rich guy, right?
Yeah.
He's grown up with a silver spoon in his mouth. He doesn't care. It doesn't. He obviously doesn't care what happens, you know, to those babies that get blown up by IEDs, and he cries about them. He doesn't care about people. He's a psychopath. I mean, he really just has, you know, so these terms don't really have any real material meaning for him. You know, he can't probably imagine what it's like to live in Guatemala now that we got CAFTA going, and being like a 5-year-old kid only eating like maybe like a couple, you know, spoonfuls of beans every day and wondering why daddy's so depressed, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. Well, listen, thanks for the edification.
Sorry, I hopefully didn't come off as like know-it-all or anything. Like, it's just one of those things.
I just
happen to know it. Maybe I'm like an idiot savant or something.
Well, I
happen to know it, right?
I appreciate the fact that you clarified it for us. Thanks a lot, Ron. Ron? Okay, Ron, take care. No, we're always open to factual corrections, inputs, errors that need to be corrected. Are you kidding? Clarity is calling from Sandy. Wait, is this the woman who came up with the idea of roses for Helen?
That's me.
Well, hi, Clarity. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. I'm extremely nervous, so forgive me for that. The scenes and online, but talking on the phone, I'm like, blah!
Nothing to be nervous about, except you have about, I don't know, maybe 500,000 people listening, and if you screw up the least little bit, it'll haunt you for the rest of your life.
Oh, well, thanks. You know, no pressure here.
Right.
I'm just really bummed out that harmonization is an actual word.
An actual term. Yeah, I kind of was, too. I appreciate what he said, but, you know, I'm sitting here going, damn. Well, that was a wonderful idea. I've seen the pictures all over Democratic Underground and now a couple of other websites of the absolute look of just, I don't know, appreciation on Helen Thomas's face. She's surrounded with all these beautiful flowers. I swear that was just such a sweet thing for you to have organized and got going.
It was an absolute honor to be a part of it, and I'm just so grateful for the outpouring of love from everybody who put their money and their time and everything into doing this for her. I am just so pleased. Just seeing the pictures made it completely worthwhile. I am so happy that she got those roses. Lord knows she deserves them.
Yeah, she does. This woman is kind of a throwback to the days when journalists were really journalists. Helen Thomas has always been a writer. I'm sure you know her history. She worked for UPI for years until UPI was bought by the Mooney organization, and then she just bailed out and said, "To hell with this." And she has since become a syndicated columnist for the Hearst organization. Now that transition, it's my understanding from people I've talked with who I guess know her, that transition was a little bit difficult. When you go from being a reporter, which Helen was, to being an opinion writer, which is what she's become, it's a rough transition because she had years and years and years and years of the rules of reporting as part of her discipline. And when you start writing an opinion column, of course, those rules no longer apply. But I have the deepest respect for her because she represents to me, eventually, bless her heart, she should live to be 150, but she represents to me eventually the end of an era. There are a few more out there like her who are not working anymore, like Cronkite, but Helen Thomas continues to slug away. So I'm in awe of her. I don't have heroes, but if I were to, I think Helen Thomas would be one.
Well, I'll tell you what, when I opened up the Salt Lake Tribune and read her op-ed and actually saw the words "Project for a New American Century," I just about fell out of my chair.
I'll bet.
You know, they're not talking about that. She's talking about that in corporate media. This is incredible. And between that and what she had to say to he who shall not be named,
I was just
absolutely thrilled with her. And she deserves 100,000 more roses. She's just a wonderful gem, and I'm just so pleased to be able to be part of a project that gave her a smile, because
well,
Lord knows she deserves it.
A pat on the back to you, Clarity. Thanks a lot. Thanks for checking
in. Thank you, Mike.
And thanks for coming on the program. I appreciate it. Take care, okay? Have a good weekend.
You too.
All right. Quick break here, Truth Seekers. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy on Air America.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. 40 million Americans suffer from allergies, 17 million from asthma, 37 million from sinus infections. Here's the thought: change the air you breathe. An Orrick professional air purifier completely renews the air in an average-sized room every 10 minutes. Try it free for 90 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200.
Spring is here, and everywhere you look, the colors are in full bloom. Even at your neighborhood Ace Hardware, we have thousands of the trendiest paint colors. And better yet, we can custom match any color you bring in. Hurry into Ace Hardware today for a great deal on Ace Royal Flat Interior Paint. Buy up to 10 gallons of Ace Royal for just $13.99 each after a $5 mail-in rebate. See store for details. Ace, the helpful place.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. New York authorities say they were being sensitive to the feelings and emotions of the families of the victims killed in the 9/11 terror attacks. The tapes they released Friday of calls to 911 emergency operators were edited to remove the voices of the callers. Only the operators' voices are heard, but a number of those family members say those partial conversations do little to help authorities analyze the performance of the 911 system and make improvements. Jennifer Pulsoni reports.
You saw an explosion at the Twin Towers. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of calls.
Those initial emergency calls to 911 operators of planes hitting the Trade Center were just some of the nearly 130 calls released today. Although callers were blocked out, the voices of dispatchers still set the tone for the chaos and confusion that was unfolding.
Yeah, we have somebody just fell out of the window. We heard that it was a plane that crashed into the building. Yeah, I know, but there was somebody that fell out of the window from there, too.
Oh, my God.
Officials say nearly 60,000 calls for help were received by the end of that fateful day. Jennifer Pulsoni in New York.
Sally Reagan-Hard, who lost her firefighter son, says 911 operators did the best they could, but higher-ups are to blame for not giving them the proper tools, which is why she says the full tapes need to be released.
No elected official was any hero of 9/11. And that is why there is such a concerted effort to keep these tapes secret.
The 9/11 families are headed back to court to seek the full, unedited release of those tapes. The man who claims he was supposed to fly a fifth hijacked jetliner on September 11, 2001, still does not know whether his future will be life in prison without parole or a sentence of death. The federal court jury involved in the sentencing of Zacharias Moussaoui has recessed for the weekend. President Bush says he reminded Mexican President Vicente Fox during the summit in Cancun that Mexico has a responsibility to secure its side of the border against illegal crossings, but he again urged Congress to include a guest worker program as part of the immigration reform that's now being debated to allow undocumented workers out of the shadows. Immigration topped the agenda at the summit that also included Canada's Prime Minister Stephen Harper. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. It's Air America. I'm Mike Malloy. Just got an email from Bruce in California. Here's the program on delay. Regarding the conception parties, Bruce says that the report, the blog report from which I read it, the Swift report, Bruce says, is satirical. It's a satirical site. So what, that's not true? They don't have conception parties where they try to make another little baby whatever? No? Oh, damn. It certainly sounded real, didn't it? Huh? Conception parties? Hey, if you're in the Atlanta area, come join thousands and thousands of your friends and neighbors tomorrow. We will be gathering at the Martin Luther King Center for Peace and Justice, and then there's a walk from that center to Piedmont Park. It's being sponsored by the Southern Regional, by the Peace and Justice Center. The Georgia Peace and Justice Organization. Oh, hell, I did just be there. Okay, if you want more information, go to georgiapeace.org. Georgiapeace.org. It's going to go on for 3 or 4 hours, a march and speeches and booths and fun and family and music and puppets and drum and all sorts of good stuff. So come on by. Come on by. If you can't make the march, come to Piedmont Park in Midtown Atlanta. Back to the phone calls. Jan is calling from New York. Jan, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hey, Jan.
I've ever called a radio program, except that I did call in to tell you that his name was Frederick Law Olmsted.
Oh, you sent me the email?
Actually, I phoned in.
Oh, you phoned in. Oh, okay. The other night?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
He also created this wonderful Central Park.
Yes.
I'm calling about passports, but first I wanted to say that I used to think Bush was inept, and now I don't think he's inept at all. I just think he's a very evil buffoon who's getting everything he wants.
I think you're right.
As far as passports are concerned, I get my news from the BBC and from France 2, or
mm-hmm.
France 2.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this huge uproar that went on for days and days and days on France 2. About passports, because now the passports are no longer good. They have to be embedded with these chips that can be read at a distance.
Right.
And if you don't have an embedded passport, you can't get into the United States.
Oh, jeez.
And that's in France, so I would suspect it's in all countries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're reading George Orwell, and he couldn't have even conceived that things could become this despicable.
Oh, it's just getting crazier and crazier, and we've said before on this program, it's going to take decades, if not generations, to try to salvage the United States from what this crazy man has done.
Well, what we've become is a very well-dressed third-world country.
It's rapidly approaching that, yes.
No, we're not approaching it. We are exporting raw cotton. We haven't done that since before the Civil War.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And the raw cotton is being subsidized by the federal government. It's beyond wacky.
Well, this sounds extremely sinister to me.
Well, it's happening.
Well, I certainly don't dispute the fact as you're presenting it. When I think of a third world country, though, the reason I say we're well on our way is I think of first of all, the term is extremely racist. If not racist, it's extremely.
No, Mike. What a third world country is it produces a raw product, but it does not. We produce cotton. It is subsidized by a federal government. We do not produce thread. We do not produce fabric. We do not produce goods. We export the raw cotton to China, and they produce thread, fabric, and finished goods and send it back to us.
Right. Yeah, I got
that's
that.
Third world.
You're right. I got that part. What I'm saying is my impression of a third world country. When I think of a third world country, I have kind of an image that was probably stuck in my head sometime in the 50s or the 60s of a country that, yes, produces raw materials, but that's aside from the fact that it's also a country locked into abject poverty with a very tightly controlled...
Wait a second.
A very tightly controlled military, no freedoms, a military that's extremely oppressive, 1 or 2% of the population that controls all the land and all the natural resources.
But we have 700 plus bases in other countries.
Okay.
And every day, we need to borrow from other countries $3 billion just to pay the interest on our debt.
Okay. All right. Well, I got
$3 billion.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think I understand what you're saying here, and I appreciate it. So let me move on, Jen. Thanks a lot. I appreciate the call. Again, all I'm saying is my impression of a third world country is the caricature of pick one, Guatemala, when the United Fruit Company was exploiting the hell out of and murdering the people there, or more recently when Texaco was exploiting the hell out of and murdering the people in Ecuador, or Coca-Cola, who was exploiting and murdering the hell out of people, union organizers in Colombia, or you understand what I'm saying? And we don't have that here yet. Not in a direct way. We don't have military patrols going to the UAW in Detroit and pulling people out in the street and shooting them. Do you understand what I'm saying? It may come to that. But that's my caricature-ish image of a third world country where people live where there is no drinkable water, food supplies are practically non-existent, chickens running around in the ward, in the road. You know, a cartoonish caricature is what the image I get. I understand the economic a point of what a third world country is, exports its raw materials for manufacture somewhere else.
Not to change the subject, but to change the subject, I think I just saw something on the scroll on CNN that said the photographer who took the picture of Antonin Scalia in church giving the vanuculo or whatever, he's gotten fired.
He got fired?
The freelance photographer just lost his job, something to do with the archdiocese.
God. Vafanculo. 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 There you go. Vafanculo. Well, yeah, this is a third world country. What do you expect? Mike is calling from Illinois. Mike, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. It's 13-year-old Mike in Illinois.
Oh, hey, I can never tell because your voice sounds very, almost as old as mine. Well, okay, no, but you know what I'm saying. Hi, Mike.
Glad to say that it's officially 2 years and Bill O'Reilly's still saying that Air America's going off, next week sometime.
Yeah, right. Well, I've got something Bill O'Reilly can go off on, and it's not the network, but anyway, it's a falafel, a Fallujah, whatever the hell it is. What does he say? He liked to shower with people with falafels and... Loofahs, that's right, loofahs.
Something like that.
So what's up, Mike?
Anyway, I was thinking a theory for all the people that call in occasionally on your show and say that 9/11 was an inside job. Maybe a way to prove that, and I haven't heard anyone say this, but maybe they have, maybe they haven't. If you could file a Freedom of Information request or get someone at the SEC to look at all the records of the neocons and anyone who might have known that 9/11 was coming, and see if they dumped all their stocks beforehand as, kind of insider trading thing like Bill Frist is doing, but because they knew 9/11.
Well, there is that unanswered question. I think it's still unanswered. All the selling short on the stock on the airlines that were involved in those crashes, and millions of dollars were generated using that method of making money from the stock market. And I don't know. The last I heard, nobody had claimed the money. Hey, hold on a second, Mike. I have to take a break here. We'll be right back. This is Air America.
If I don't call it, you can just learn how to wait. Too little, too late. Too little, too late.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance and are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
Talk radio right from the left. It's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 21 past the hour. We're talking with Mike, who's calling from Illinois, one of our young listeners. All right, where were we, Mike?
We were talking about the
The stock sales. Yeah.
Yeah, the stock sales.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to do it. I've mentioned this several times on the program. Maybe by the time you're an old man, the truth will come out. I don't think it's going to come out in my lifetime. So just remember way back when you were 13. Are you still 13?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just remember when that comes out, way back when you were 13, when you're like 78 years old, and, you know, you're sitting around with your grandkids going, well, you know, I used to call this radio program. I was in a place called Atlanta. It doesn't exist anymore. It's underwater now. But and we always talked about how maybe someday the truth will come out. Well, gather around, children. Here's the truth. You think that might happen?
Maybe.
And maybe not. Right. I understand.
Did you see tonight Randy Rhodes and Ed Schultz on Larry King, and they were debating?
I heard about it, but I didn't hear about it. I didn't get an email about it until it was all over. Randy's producer didn't send me anything saying, hey, Mike, watch Randy tonight. You know, I had no idea until it's all over. Now, I think they redo, redo Larry King? That's over, too, right?
And I think it's going to be Sunday night. They're going to replay it.
Oh, okay.
But it was amazing. The two people they had on there, they were so out of their minds. They were talking about something completely unrelated to 9/11. And this woman goes, well, Randy Rhodes, you're forgetting 9/11. You make jokes about that they always bring it up, but they actually do it. It's that insane.
Yeah, yeah. It is, God bless Randy's heart for going on those kinds of programs. I gave it up. I will never, ever, 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 ever do it again. I was on too many times on CNN, MSNBC, once on Fox, where I had to get up and walk off the set. But I just won't do it. Even Larry King, who is probably the least offensive interviewer on cable or network television. So, you know, good for Randy for doing it. I'm glad somebody was there from the core of Air America Radio Network. Ed Schultz is not Air America Radio Network. He's somebody else. He's with a different company. But I'm glad that Randy was there to kick ass and take names. I've seen Sam Cedar go on different programs and do the same thing. Me, no thanks. Never again, ever, under any circumstances. But I'll have to check it out. I'll have to take a look and see how good Randy did.
It's really too bad they can't put him on there, without the wackos to debate him. I thought when I heard Randy and Ed were going to be on, they'd be debating each other since, you know, they go back and forth just amongst themselves.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
were on there as two liberals against two conservatives.
Well, a liberal, that would be Randy, and I've said it before, I might as well say it again, a fake liberal, Ed Schultz. That would have been an interesting debate. But glad, you know, I'm glad Schultz was on too. Even though he's a suspect as far as I'm concerned. Sorry, look, all you Ed Schultz fans, spare me. Don't send me an email. I really don't care what you think about what I think. So just drop it. All right, let it be. I was Hugh Hewitt one of the people on that program? Some
mm-hmm.
freak named Hugh
yeah.
Hewitt.
I never heard of him before. When it came on, I went to his website just to see what kind of garbage is on there. At the bottom of the page, he has, like, all of his favorite people. He's got pictures of Bush, Reagan, and Nixon, like they're the greatest people in the world. Here's
three of the
biggest crooks.
Yeah, somebody sent me an email, said it was Hugh Hewitt, and I had been on a couple of times with him on various little verbal slugfests. And, this guy just makes my skin crawl. He makes my body orifices kind of pinch up. I can't stand these people. So, you know, to be on television with them, even though nobody's in the same studio, usually, you know, you're thousands or hundreds or whatever miles apart, just to hear their voices, I just can't do it. I have maxed out, is what I'm saying, Mike. I've just maxed out on these people. But I'll check it out, because I want to see Randy kick some conservative ass, which I'm sure she did.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks, Mike.
All right, thanks.
Thanks for checking in. Take care. Have a good weekend.
The latest rumor I heard about Hugh Hewitt was that he compared himself to someone on the front lines in Iraq because he's working under dangerous conditions, too, because he broadcasts from the Empire State Building, which could be a target for terrorists.
Oh, Jesus. You know,
he's in a dangerous spot.
There's only one thing that makes me sicker than white male conservative talk show hosts, and that would be give me a minute. White male conservative talk show host. Plague? That would make me sicker. All right. Hugh Hewitt. All right, a quick break here. Stick around when we come back. Tonight's reading from Chapter 17, or if you keep track the other way, Part 2, Chapter 9 of George Orwell's 1984. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
The Mike Molloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're looking for the ideal job, Mystery ShopLink has immediate openings for mystery shoppers in your area. Mystery shoppers get paid to shop, dine and drink at restaurants, and even go to the movies. Companies pay you to be their eyes and ears. You tell them how you're treated and how their prices compare. As a mystery shopper, you set your own hours and pick up your own assignments. Bring home hundreds of extra dollars. To qualify, you must be over 18, have a checking account, credit or debit card, and internet access. All you need to do is shop. For a small fee, Mystery ShopLink will have you mystery shopping in a few days. Call now and you'll get a $1,000 online catalog gift certificate. Order what you want. As a mystery shopper, you get to keep the goods free. You'll get the details when you call. This is a very limited offer, so call right now. Call 1-888-223-7979 to find out how you can get paid to shop. That's 1-888-223-7979. Paid shopping assignments are now available in your area. 1-888-223-7979. Offer not available in Nevada.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
We're just about to start chapter 17 in Orwell's 1984. This begins one of the longest chapters in the book, and it's where Winston Smith has a chance to read the book, the one written by Emmanuel Goldstein. And Orwell allows the reader, that's you and me, to read it right along with Winston Smith. Now, when we left off last night, the reading, the meeting between Julia and Winston and O'Brien had ended. And it was in that meeting that O'Brien explained to Winston and Julia that, yes, there was a brotherhood. Yes, there was a person named Emmanuel Goldstein. Yes, Julia and Winston were now part of the resistance, and so on and so forth. And where we're picking up now, well, let's just begin. Winston was gelatinous with fatigue. Gelatinous was the right word. It had come into his head spontaneously. His body seemed to have not only the weakness of a jelly, but its translucency. He felt that if he held up his hand, he would be able to see the light through it. All the blood and lymph had been drained out of him by an enormous debauch of work, leaving only a frail structure of nerves, bones, and skin. All sensations seemed to be magnified. His overalls fretted his soldiers. The pavement tickled his feet. Even the opening and closing of a hand was an effort that made his joints creak. He had worked more than 90 hours in 5 days. So had everyone else in the ministry. Now it was all over, and he had literally nothing to do, no party work of any description, until tomorrow morning. He could spend 6 hours in the hiding place and another 9 hours in his own bed. Slowly, in mild afternoon sunshine, he walked up a dingy street in the direction of Mr. Charrington's shop, keeping one eye open for the patrols, but irrationally convinced that this afternoon there was no danger of anyone interfering with him. The heavy briefcase that he was carrying bumped against his knee at each step, sending a tingling sensation up and down the skin of his leg. Inside it was the book, which he had now had in his possession for 6 days and had not yet opened, nor even looked at. On the sixth day of Hate Week, after the processions, the speeches, the shouting, the singing, the banners, the posters, the films, the waxworks, the rolling of drums and squealing of trumpets, the tramp of marching feet, the grinding of the caterpillars of tanks, the roar of massed planes, the booming of guns, after 6 days of this, when the great orgasm was quivering to its climax and the general hatred of Eurasia had boiled up into such delirium that if the crowd could have got their hands on the 2,000 Eurasian war criminals who were to be publicly hanged on the last day of the proceedings, they would unquestionably have torn them to pieces. At just this moment, it had been announced that Oceania was not, after all, at war with Eurasia. Oceania was at war with East Asia. Eurasia was an ally. There was, of course, no admission that any change had taken place. Merely it became known with extreme suddenness and everywhere at once that East Asia, and not Eurasia, was the enemy. Winston was taking part in a demonstration in one of the central London squares at the moment when it happened. It was night, and the white faces and the scarlet banners were luridly floodlit. The square was packed with several thousand people, including a block of about 1,000 school children in the uniform of the spies. On a scarlet-draped platform, an orator of the inner party, a small, lean man with disproportionately long arms and a large, bald skull over which a few lank locks straggled, was haranguing the crowd. A little Rumpelstiltskin figure, contorted with hatred, he gripped the neck of the microphone with one hand, while the other, enormous at the end of a bony arm, clawed the air menacingly above his head. His voice, made metallic by the amplifiers, boomed forth an endless catalogue of atrocities, massacres, deportations, lootings, rapings, torture of prisoners, bombing of civilians, lying propaganda, unjust aggression, broken treaties. It was almost impossible to listen to him without first being convinced and then maddened. At every few moments, the fury of the crowd boiled over and the voice of the speaker was drowned by a wild, beast-like roaring that rose uncontrollably from thousands of throats. The most savage yells of all came from the school children. The speech had been proceeding for perhaps 20 minutes when a messenger hurried onto the platform and a scrap of paper was slipped into the speaker's hand. He unrolled it and read it without pausing in his speech. Nothing altered in his voice or manner or in the context of what he was saying, but suddenly the names were different. Without words said, a wave of understanding rippled through the crowd. Oceania was at war with East Asia. The next moment, there was a tremendous commotion. The banners and posters with which the square was decorated were all wrong. Quite half of them had the wrong faces on them. It was sabotage. The agents of Goldstein had been at work. There was a riotous interlude while posters were ripped from the walls, banners torn to shreds and trampled underfoot. The spies performed prodigies of activity in clambering over the rooftops and cutting the streamers that fluttered from the chimneys. But within 2 or 3 minutes, it was all over. The orator, still gripping the neck of the microphone, his shoulders hunched forward, his free hand clawing at the air, had gone straight on with his speech. 1 minute more and the feral roars of rage were again bursting from the crowd. The hate continued exactly as before, except that the target had been changed. The thing that impressed Winston in looking back was that the speaker had switched from one line to the other, actually in mid-sentence, not only without a pause, but without even breaking the syntax. But at the moment, he had other things to preoccupy him. It was during the moment of disorder, while the posters were being torn down, that a man whose face he did not see had tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Excuse me, I think you've dropped your briefcase." He took the briefcase abstractedly without speaking. He knew that it would be days before he had an opportunity to look inside it. The instant that the demonstration was over, he went straight to the Ministry of Truth. Though the time was now nearly 23 hours, the entire staff of the ministry had done likewise. The orders already issuing from the telescreen, recalling them to their posts, were hardly necessary. Oceania was at war with East Asia. Oceania had always been at war with East Asia. A large part of the political literature of 5 years was now completely obsolete. Reports and records of all kinds, newspapers, books, pamphlets, films, soundtracks, photographs, all had to be rectified at lightning speed. Although no directive was ever issued, it was known that the chiefs of the department intended that within 1 week, no reference to the war with Eurasia or the alliance with East Asia should remain in existence anywhere. The work was overwhelming. All the more so because the processes that it involved could not be called by their true names. Everyone in the records department worked 18 hours in the 24 with 2 3-hour snatches of sleep. Mattresses were brought up from the cellars and pitched all over the corridors. Meals consisted of sandwiches and victory coffee wheeled round on trolleys by attendants from the canteen. Each time that Winston broke off for one of his spells of sleep, he tried to leave his desk clear of work, and each time that he crawled back, sticky-eyed and aching, it was to find that another shower of paper cylinders had covered the desk like a snowdrift, half-burying the speakwrite and overflowing onto the floor. So the first job was always to stack them into a neat enough pile to give him room to work. What was worst of all was that the work was by no means purely mechanical. Often it was enough merely to substitute one name for another, but any detailed report of events demanded care and imagination. Even the geographical knowledge that one needed in transferring the war from one part of the world to another was considerable. By the third day, his eyes ached unbearably, and his spectacles needed wiping every few minutes. It was like struggling with some crushing physical task, something which one had the right to refuse, and which one was nevertheless neurotically anxious to accomplish. Insofar as he had time to remember it, he was not troubled by the fact that every word he murmured into the speakwrite, every stroke of his ink pencil, was a deliberate lie. He was as anxious as anyone else in the department that the forgery should be perfect. On the morning of the sixth day, the dribble of cylinders slowed down. For as much as half an hour, nothing came out of the tube. Then one more cylinder, then nothing. Everywhere at about the same time, the work was easing off. A deep and, as if it were secret, sigh went through the department, a mighty deed which could never be mentioned had been achieved. It was now impossible for any human being to prove by any documentary evidence that the war with Eurasia had ever happened. At 1200, it was unexpectedly announced that all workers in the ministry were free till tomorrow morning. Winston, still carrying the briefcase containing the book, which had remained between his feet while he worked and under his body while he slept, went home, shaved himself, and almost fell asleep in his bath, although the water was barely more than tepid. With a sort of voluptuous creaking in his joints, he climbed the stair above Mr. Charrington's shop. He was tired, but not sleepy any longer. He opened the window, lit the dirty little oil stove, and put on a pan of water for coffee. Julia would arrive presently. Meanwhile, there was the book. He sat down in the sluttish armchair and undid the straps of the briefcase.
Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hank Montenegro of Morganville, New Jersey wrote, "Dear Mr. Orrick, ever since we purchased your 8-pound Orrick XL vacuum, my wife has been in heaven. Recently, she panicked, believing she'd broken the vacuum. I contacted your customer service department, and after a few questions, I was sent a replacement part at no charge. The machine is as good as new. Try my 8-pound Orrick XL risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
You know when you open a birthday card from Grandma? She's usually good for, what, like $5? Well, now imagine that you have 100 grandmas. It feels like that.
Have you ever gotten out of your car and something catches your eye on the ground? You walk over and find a $5 bill? Okay, now pretend you find a $495 bill next to it. It's just like that.
New GEICO customers report average annual savings of $500 on their car insurance. Discover how it feels and how much you could save. Go to GEICO.com. Simple as that.
Got the flying monkey right blues? Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. Thanks to our production crew, Jason Isaac and Justin Yuen engineered the program in New York City. Dee Neal is our associate producer. Handles the calls and the blog at airamericaradio.com/Mike Malloy. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, our webmaster. Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, archives the program, and Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Catherine Bay is executive producer of the program. If you're in the Atlanta area, and that's anywhere within a 200-300-mile radius, come and join us tomorrow. Tomorrow, Southern Regional March for Peace and Justice begins at noon, Martin Luther King Center for Peace and Justice, and the march goes on to Piedmont Park. There will be an abundance of speakers, but the good news is all of us have been limited to a specific amount of time, and it's quick. So there will also be other events. The huge stick puppets that I love, drumming, music, frivolity, fun, be there. Diane is calling from Michigan. Diane, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi, Mike. Thanks for getting mad so I don't have to.
Sure.
No, seriously, I used to think I was the only one that could, see how awful the news was.
But well, that's the thing. I used to think the same thing, too, until it occurred to me that no. Lots of people out there feel the same way.
Well, I wanted to ask you about the immigration issue because I've been really dismayed at some of the leftists that seem to think that what's going on with immigration is kind of an excuse to vent at capitalists exploiting labor, and they sound sort of a lot like the right wing in, like, we have to get these people out of here because capitalists will exploit them and then they will exploit us. And I really see this more as, like you just mentioned in the past half hour, that, we've done it, we have just completely destroyed the economies and the freedoms and the lives of many people in Central America, Mexico, South America with, repression and our subsidies of multinational corporations. And then, as we've burned down and starved and destroyed our neighbor's house, horror of horrors, we're really surprised when our neighbors are coming over to our house where we have food and money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really saddened by certain people on the left, sort of taking advantage of these extremely poor people who, just want to live and, support their families.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I do agree. I've focused some attention on this issue over the past week, and not a whole lot. And one of the reasons I have not focused a lot of attention is because while I feel that the people who come to this country, I don't consider any human being to be illegal to begin with. If somebody comes to this country for work, they are coming for work. They're coming for a reason. If there are certain requirements that they have to go through in order to work here, okay, let's do that. But like I've said before, these people don't show up, these immigrants don't show up fully armed and grab employers and force them to hire the immigrants. The immigrants make themselves available by standing on street corners, and then the employers come by and scoop them up. But coming from an immigrant family myself, I have a lot of trouble emotionally speaking out against immigration. I understand, in real world terms, the necessity of controlling a country's borders, although I disagree with the idea. The idea of borders and boundaries, but I can't really get into this issue very deeply because of the hysterics that surround it right now. The one thing I am glad to see and I mean this, is that the hundreds of thousands of people that have turned out into the streets to make a statement. These are not people turning out in the streets who are advocating war or advocating death or advocating ugliness or destruction or smash the planet into a nuclear holocaust. These are people who have taken to the streets and are saying, we're human, we're here, we have to deal with this. We're not going to be treated as some kind of criminals because we're looking to feed our families and take care of our children. So I've tended, for the most part, to stay out of it. And I'm not trying to avoid the issue. I definitely will talk about it. I have talked about it a bit. But the posturing around this issue, as you point out, mostly from the right, but a little bit from the left, is just more than I can handle. And to have one more screaming voice in it, mine, is just unnecessary at this point. I have deep respect for people who have the wherewithal, the determination to come out by the hundreds of thousands and march in the streets, some of whom are residents here, some of whom are citizens here, some of whom are visitors, some of whom do not have the proper papers, and just say, look, we're here. Let's not pretend like somehow we're destroying America, because we're not. I don't think immigrants have ever destroyed America, except the original group that came over here and wiped out the native population or isolated it, and then eventually their descendants brought over slaves. But I think wave after wave after wave of immigrant to this country has come here to, you know, for positive reasons. And I think Latino immigrants are doing the same thing.
Well, thank you very much, Mike. I had missed, I just get to listen to you when I'm privileged to do so, and I had missed any statements you'd made on the issue.
Yeah, they've been kind of brief, but that pretty much encapsulates it, what I just said.
Well,
so.
It sounds really good to me. I was privileged to take part in a march here in Grand Rapids, Michigan, that we had 10,000 people.
That's great. I'm glad to hear that. Diane, we're out of time. I'll talk to you again, I'm sure. Take care, all right? And thanks a lot for participating in the program. However, you did that tonight. I'll see you Monday night. Take care, okay? Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Just like my mama.
Oh, yeah. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Dad, this is my boyfriend, Scott.
So, where are you from, Scott?
Seattle.
Any brothers, sisters?
One brother.
How's your driving record?
Good.
Ever been arrested?
Huh?
Serve in the military?
Sir?
Do you have any diseases?
Dad!
What if everything in life came with a 115-point inspection? Well, before we certify any Ford Lincoln Mercury pre-owned vehicle, it must first pass a rigorous point-by-point exam. Plus, all Ford Lincoln Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles come with a 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty, including 24-hour roadside assistance.
Any sports injuries?
No. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4-K9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Search Dog USA.